The participation of women in crime has been growing at an alarming rate. Other statistics indicate that women are losing their femininity. I'll be back in a moment to talk about the death of modesty. Hello, this is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Every succeeding generation of world history has been distinguished by some mark of outstanding sin or depravity. The Bible assures us that mankind is depraved by nature and therefore will certainly follow paths of disobedience and rebellion. In order to appeal to the natural carnality that abides in every human heart, the devil invents various techniques and approaches for sin. Without doubt, the devil has developed through the long 6,000-year period of human history quite a long list of refined and sophisticated appeals to draw people away into sin or transgression. Now, I can imagine that some temptations were tailor-made to meet the particular circumstances that prevailed in certain periods of world history. On the other hand, there are some fascinating and alluring evils that have been used as deadly sin bait in every age of man's existence. Satan has always been quite successful in perverting the emotions of an individual that throws the reasoning powers out of operation completely. One manifestation of this malignant perversion of man's emotions is revealed in the terrible scourge of immorality that now sweeps over the world. This is nothing new, of course, because we have records of such incidents from the very earliest history of man. The book of Genesis, for example, tells us a great deal about the moral perversion of men and women who lived way back there very close to the creation of this world. Obviously, Satan began to make his powerful appeals to sexual instincts as soon as man opened the door by the original transgression. Jesus indicated that the great consuming sin of the antediluvian world was indulgence in fleshly excesses. Genesis tells us that the very imaginations of their hearts were only evil continually. Christ himself said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man," Matthew 24:37. So it shouldn't surprise us to see the world involved in this great carnival of sinful pleasure and fleshly indulgence as we see it today. Now, Paul assured us in his prophecy that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And everywhere we look today, we see the same kinds of evil that marked those days before God destroyed the world before the flood. Immodesty, immorality, and sexual perversions are permeating our society with incredible boldness. Many modern writers have felt that the saturation point is almost reached, and that some change must soon take place in the other direction. Even non-Christians are alarmed and concerned over the fearful results that these departures from principle have brought on us. Sometimes the question is asked, what has triggered this tide of evil? How did sex become such an obsession with the American people? One of the phenomena of our time is the mushrooming growth of look-alike boutiques and hair salons. Unisex shops and signs are everywhere, appearing across the country, offering exactly the same clothes and the same hairstyles to both men and women. Now, what's the significance of this development, friends? Are there any spiritual dangers inherent in this growing trend? First, we need to take note of the astronomical rise of homosexuality in the last few years. America has been literally swamped in a blitz of newspaper and magazine stories about the gay movement and how it's proudly come out of the closet to demand its rights. Gay marches and demonstrations attract great crowds and wide publicity. Television forums have openly discussed the matter with millions of viewers, with both lesbians and homosexuals taking part. Psychiatry has given formal recognition to the practice as normal sex behavior. Great Protestant church organizations are not only opening the doors to membership, but they're actually ordaining self-confessed homosexuals to the ministry. Churches have been established exclusively for the worship of homosexuals, and some marriages even have been performed between two persons of the same sex. Well, much has been written about the possible causes for this spectacular escalation of a very old perversion. Very few seem to understand exactly why it's made such a sudden resurgence. But I believe we can discover the reasons by examining some parallel social developments which have given explicit encouragement to the gay movement. There's a cause for every effect, and through the centuries of time, the same conditions have produced similar results. I think all Bible students are acquainted with the strong condemnation of sodomy that's woven throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. God labels it as one of the worst abominations, a sin that'll be utterly destroyed in the end, and which utterly depraves those who practice it. The ancient pagan world was riddled with this vice. The very name is derived from the city of Sodom, which harbored a host of militant homosexuals. Paul speaks in Romans 1:26 and 27 of vile affections. He says, "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Yes, the reprobate minds which commit such things are worthy of death, Paul stated in verse 32 of that chapter. Now the land of Canaan, which the Israelites were to possess, was filled with the perverse iniquity of sodomy or homosexuality. And this was one of the reasons God gave such explicit instructions for them not to intermarry or intermingle with the inhabitants of the land. They were to avoid any contaminating contact that could lead Israel to join their debased practices. Furthermore, they were given specific instructions against dressing in a way that could create the climate for committing this sin. In Deuteronomy 22:5, we read, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now, because sodomy involves a changing of sex roles, which is usually accomplished by a pattern of acting and dressing like the opposite sex, God warned his people not to open any door of temptation on this matter. They were to maintain clear lines of distinction between the dress of men and women. The New Testament reaffirms this principle of separation and appearance. Paul wrote, "Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her?" 1 Corinthians 11:14 and 15. All right, now we're ready to make some observations about the modern social scene that might explain why we see this alarming rise of homosexuality. If God saw that the blurring of sexual identity could cause problems, then we must admit to having a great problem. We're seeing three factors at work today that have never operated before in human history at the same time. Taken alone, none of these three things would be too impressive, perhaps. But when we see the combined effect of their influence, it's frightening even to contemplate. And the three contemporary conditions are these. Number one, the women's lib movement, whose declared purpose is to interchange the roles of men and women in much of our social, economic, and religious life. And number two, the pantsuit fashion revolution that has led the majority of women to abandon the traditional feminine dress styles. And number three, the growing tendency of men to dress in frills with feminine hairstyles and accompanying demasculinization. Now, friends, this combination of related circumstances has probably been responsible for pushing thousands or even millions of borderline homosexuals over the line into perversion. Many of them only needed a little bit of psychotic confusion that these three movements thrust upon them. Dr. Charles Winnick, professor of sociology at the City University of New York, is one leading authority who feels that the current vogue for interchangeable clothing is leading us to ultimate disaster. In his provocative book, The New People, he delineates the numerous ways that unisex is desexualizing the American people. He believes that even the over 30 group has been critically affected by the radical changes around them, although they don't fully realize how it's happened. Dr. Winnick points out that even the staid businessmen are edging into patterned pastel-hued shirts and pants. Men's departments are doing a brisk business in jewelry, scented grooming aids, hair pieces, manicures, face creams, and colognes. Hair nets and permanent waves are discreetly labeled with terms like trainers and hair processing. In his book, Dr. Winnick catalogs several hundred pages of items in our culture that have become neutralized and bland and consequently boring. For example, parents are giving more and more interchangeable names to their children, such as Kim, Chris, Leslie, Jean, Lee, and Dana. He believes that the blurring of masculine and feminine distinctions is leading our society into deep trouble, because people can't cope with critical life situations until they're certain of their sexual identity. Unisex clothing is confusing them and creating serious emotional crises for many. Sociologist Winnick doesn't care how masculinity and femininity are defined, as long as they're clearly defined. He says, just about every combination of male and female role relationships can be healthy and effective, except one in which roles are blurred. And he wrote that in Medical Opinion and Review, a magazine for physicians. Well, in view of the scriptural statements, and in view of the increasing tendency to have women dress as near like the other sex as possible, what can we say concerning the modern situation? The effects of this defeminizing of the women of America is seen in many, many ways. In the last 10 years, there's been a large increase in the female crime rate. We always used to count on females committing 3% of the total crimes, but now it's up to 15 or 20%. In fact, it's been steadily increasing, according to the FBI reports out of Washington, D.C. And many authorities believe that the unisex avalanche has really encouraged the participation of women in more masculine activities such as crime. It's now almost unusual to meet a woman in the supermarket who's wearing a dress. The Bible seems to recognize that dress holds a tremendous power for good or evil. Because in 1 Timothy 2:9 we read this, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Now here we find not only the immodesty condemned, but also the wearing of gold and pearls and artificial adornment. And you add to that text another in 1 Peter 3:3-4, and in Phillips' translation it reads this way, "Your beauty should not be jewelry or fine clothes, but on the inner personality, the unfading loveliness of a calm and gentle spirit, a thing very precious in the eyes of God." Well, some time ago, Eloise Curtis, a designer of junior dresses and gowns, struck an alarming note when she said, quote, "In many homes, there's no longer an externally visible difference between the sexes. A woman donning pants subconsciously dons a few masculine characteristics in her approach to her own baby. The baby, seeing nothing but pants around, becomes confused as to where his mother begins and his father leaves off." End of quotation. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.